Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
-47 degrees, light drizzle, feels like the Pacific Northwest, not the upper Midwest. Welcome back, Sports to the Max on a Wednesday. Eric in for Mike. It is 7:09. On your 50,000-watt boomstick, WCCO, the Hammer. Craig Schreffer is our studio coordinator. There might be a dust-up in here tonight. He's got his Milwaukee Brewers sweatshirt on, and I walked in with a Los Angeles hoodie. That may not play well, Hammer.
You're going down to six games.
We may need Edgar Linares, I call him Cronkite, he's that good, to come in here and break it up. Obviously, Brewers, Dodgers, begins Friday, game one at Miller Park. We'll talk to Lane Grindle about that in a few minutes, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. What a run the Brew Crew is on. I believe that's 11 straight wins going back to the regular season. And they got through Chicago, knocked off the Cubs in game one, 6-3 at Wrigley. And then they sweep away the Colorado Rockies. So the Milwaukee Brewers are four wins away from their second World Series appearance ever. The only other time the Brew Crew has played in the Fall Classic was 1982 against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they lost. That's back when Milwaukee played at County Stadium.
Which, and was in the American League.
Yeah, they were in the American League. How about that? So they could pull off what the Houston Astros did, the old double switch. Remember, the Astros won the World Series last year, beating the LA Dodgers in seven, and they came out of the AL. Previously, the only other World Series appearance for the Astros was in 2005 when they took on the Chicago White Sox as a member of the National League. So the Brewers trying to follow in the Astros' footprints. Next hour, we'll talk some football. Matthew Hatchett checks in with us, former Minnesota Vikings wideout. And Al Newman, two-time World Series champion with the Minnesota Twins, will join us as well at 8:35.
Now let's go to Kevin.
All right, but now let's talk some hoops with our good friend Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, who covers the Minnesota Timberwolves during the season. And, Kay Lynch, it's been a while since we've chatted. I know you're probably doing very well, but what's going on with the ball club, the toxic Timberwolves? Jimmy Butler shows up today, and the reports coming out of ESPN and other media members who have sources within the building are saying things got very explosive.
Honestly, Eric, first of all, it's good to hear your voice, my friend. It's been a while. But, yeah, I didn't really know until late this afternoon that there was, fireworks at practice or that he even showed up to practice. So, what a mess. I mean, you can't say it any other way. It's just, I don't even know where to begin with all this stuff. But, I mean, get the guy out of town, trade him, try to get as much as he can for him. If you keep him, a few more days or weeks, or, it's just poison for everything. And, and Butler declares, just days before training camp begins that he wants to be traded. Why didn't he say that back in, or, make sure that he tells the team back in June before the draft that he wants to be traded? And then there's some dispute whether he told everybody earlier in the summer or spring, so I don't know what's exactly going on, but it's just so sad that, at the end of this upcoming season here that everything goes down the tubes and you just get a throwaway season. Hopefully that's not the case, but if you hang on to this guy too much longer, it's with how things are shaking out in the Western Conference, it's going to be tough. So, yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, it's an NBA soap opera right now, Kevin, as the T-Wolves world turns, I guess we'll call it for now. But according to ESPN, Butler Was very candid and vocal today in the practice, lobbing verbal grenades at head coach Tom Thibodeau, GM Scott Layden, and, of course, teammates Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Butler had not practiced so far this season after requesting that trade 3 weeks ago. And look, I know I was all in when they acquired Butler on draft night a year and a half ago. I was at the Mall of America Rotunda when he showed up. There was a huge crowd. I figured he was the missing piece to get the team into the playoffs, and that was the case. But as you look back, and it's easy to second guess now with what's happening, but did Tom Thibodeau get a guarantee from Jimmy Butler that he wanted to be here big picture? Because obviously he didn't.
Well, that's, I mean, and this is all going to be talked about at some point. I mean, the dust is going to settle, whether it's coming up here quickly or maybe 6 months from now. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wanted Butler on this team when they made that deal, but at what price? And I had a hard time kind of letting go of Zach LaVine and his potential. And I told people a year ago that I kind of wish it would have been Wiggins and they would have kept LaVine. And maybe with the season that Wiggins was coming off of at that point, we averaging just under 24 points a game that season, I thought maybe they could have dealt Andrew Wiggins and, say, Chris Dunn for Butler. So you get Butler, you keep that seventh pick, and you draft Lauri Markkanen, and you keep Zach LaVine as well. I like the looks of that as far as getting Butler, but you know, the guy, he doesn't want to be here and he's forcing his way out of town after one season. So that is a legitimate question as far as do you make that deal to get Butler for 1 year? Yeah, you get to the playoffs the first time in a long time, but you give up three good young pieces to get Butler for 1 year and then he forces his way out. So it's ugly and you don't have any choice. You got to get rid of him and try to get something for him. So hopefully this clears up really quickly. And it's because it's right now, it's just not good.
Yeah, it is clearly toxic. There's no question. As we talk with Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North, part of the Timberwolves broadcast team. And look, Jimmy Butler's creds as far as a player goes. I mean, he's an all-star. He plays both ends of the floor. He's lights out defensively. I mean, I like everything about the energy he brings. But now, as we know more, and he's trying to force the hand of the T-Wolves with this trade, yeah. Let's not forget, Kevin, he talked his way out of Chicago. I mean, it did not have a good ending in Chi-Town. And it's a similar ending here in Minnesota. So if you're the Miami Heat or anybody else out there who is thinking about bringing Butler in, now you have to say, hey, the guy comes with baggage. I think he's hurt himself a lot.
Yeah, no, you might be right. I mean, you know what's funny about Butler is what's the narrative up to this point really in his NBA career of what he's all about? He said last spring, doesn't care that much about money because he's already made so much. Doesn't care about the size of the market that he plays in. All he cares about is winning. That's another thing he says. Well, it turns out that none of that is true. He wants to go to losing teams like the Clippers, the Nets, or the Knicks. They were all losing teams last year. None of them were in the playoffs. And they all, by the way, all have some money to spend so he can get his $190 million contract. And he wants to go to big markets. So I guess he is a bit of a diva in dealing with him. But that's not been his reputation up to this point. But, another thing too, Eric, with this whole situation is there's a little trend that seems to be brewing that kind of, started maybe with Kyrie Irving wanting to leave Cleveland, even though they won a title and they'd been in the finals for a few years, and he kind of forces his way out of town. Kawhi Leonard with San Antonio was a huge mess last year, and these top players in this league, for a long time, it's been, they're kind of, the players are running the asylum kind of thing, and it's getting worse. And this type of stuff for these players is going to continue to happen, and it's sad. And who is going to end up losing are franchises like Minnesota or San Antonio or Cleveland. And all these guys, they want to play with their buddies, the other star players, and they all want to go to big markets so they can maximize their brand or whatever you want to call it. And it's pretty ridiculous, and the Wolves are going to pay for it.
Yeah, and it's a turnoff for a lot of fans, no doubt, who follow the NBA. And I think you hit on a good point, Kevin. The Brooklyn Nets, when I first saw that on his reported list of demands, I said, Brooklyn, are you kidding me? The New York Knicks, they're a horribly run franchise, and if they played in Salt Lake City, they would get no attention. They only get a lot of media hype because they're in the Big Apple. And then the L.A. Clippers are always going to be the second banana to the L.A. Lakers. So the red flags went up for me on that one, too. And, you know, back to the trade with the Bulls, you brought up Zach LaVine. A lot of people like Lauri Markkanen. And let's not forget Chris Dunn. That was Tom Thibodeau and Scott Layden's pick out of Providence a couple of years ago. They liked his defensive presence, shutting down other point guards. And if you were to ask me right now, do I want Chris Dunn or Jeff Teague, I like Chris Dunn because there's way more upside.
Well, there might be some truth to that. Dunn, and this is just my opinion, he didn't do much as a rookie. At the same time, he didn't play much. He didn't get a lot of chances. So there's some that's legitimate for sure. That was the piece of that whole deal that I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I wasn't really surprised that Dunn started to turn himself into a decent player last season. So I like Chris Dunn. I really like LaVine. And I tell you what, Lauri Markkanen might be the best out of the three at the end of the day. And that could be the folks that are laughing the most at the Chicago Bulls, getting Butler out of town, you know, getting these three good young pieces from the Timberwolves. And plus, the Wolves have to deal with everything with Tom Thibodeau, so it's not looking good right now for the Wolves. And I don't know what they do, but I think number one, you got to trade Butler. But it sounds like there's conflict between Thibodeau is trying to keep him still, and Glenn Taylor, the owner, is trying to get him out of town. So it's at the very top, there's big issues.
Yeah, this is going to be fascinating to watch it play out. And hopefully from the Timberwolves' perspective, Kevin, when they make a deal, it'll be a good one, or at least as good as you can get in these unique circumstances. The last thing you want to do is get fleeced and watch Jimmy Butler go have success somewhere else at your expense. But, boy, I don't think anybody saw this coming when he came here before last season.
That's the thing, too, Eric, is okay, you want to get traded. Well, how about tell the team and be emphatic about it in May? End the season and end of April when they lost to Houston. You know, give yourself a month, and then in May, go to Thibodeau and just say, hey, man, get me out of here. I want to leave. But this all kind of comes out literally days before training camp starts. And so, Butler has to take some accountability with that, too. He should have told them sooner, because if he wants to go, make sure that the team knows that he wants out sooner, because now he kind of puts himself in a tough spot by waiting until September to tell the team he wants out. So a big part of this, obviously, is Butler's decisions.
Kevin, always great to catch up with you, and we'll see you out at Target Center soon.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Very good. He's Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North, and I guess we all should have known something was up when, before the All-Star game last January, played in Los Angeles at Staples Center, Jimmy Butler and Karl-Anthony Towns refused to fly on the same jet to go play in the All-Star game. That should have been the first red flag. It's 7:22 here on WCCO. 47 degrees outside. It's chilly, light drizzle. Wind out of the west at 15. Is it too early to look into the wind chill values? I'll leave that up to Paul Douglas or Mike Lynch. 7:26 on the hump night edition of Sports to the Max. Eric in for Mike. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk to Lane Grindle, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, in a few minutes. The Brew Crew opening up the NLCS Friday night at Miller Park against the LA Dodgers. Of course, the Boston Red Sox and Houston Astros will meet in the ALCS. And I'll tell you what, right now, I'm going on the record as saying Houston will repeat. The Houston Astros will repeat. Some baseball nuggets here for you. This is from the Chicago Tribune. We can relate to this right here in the upper Midwest. 53 games were postponed this season because of rain, snow, or cold. The second most since Major League Baseball began keeping track in 1986. Frigid April weather forced the postponement of 28 games, an all-time record for 1 month. Of course, We had the blizzard here in April that wiped out an entire weekend against the Chicago White Sox. But here's what's funny to me, Hammer, maybe you can weigh in. I put this under the headline of Dumb and Dumber. So you have all these weather-related postponements. The 2019 MLB season will begin on March 28th. That means the potential of blizzards in baseball is likely again. I say starting in March is foolish. The only baseball games that month should be played in Arizona or Florida. It's called spring training. Baseball should not officially begin until after the Final Four is finished in early April.
I think part of the reason they're doing this because you're trying to get 162 games into a six-month stretch. Before it was like you had 180 days to play these games. And now you're trying to spread a little more so you get more off days.
Yeah, now, I hear you, but they used to do it in it. I'm not saying they never had weather issues because you can have weather issues into May.
Yeah.
But March
is very hit
work
or miss
for me.
I remember 6 years ago on St. Patrick's Day, it was 80 degrees outside as I'm walking to a Wild game.
Yeah.
There was some very pleasant late March days.
I'm a big believer in sports being seasonal. When that Final Four is over with, and by the way, this April it'll be here in Minneapolis, then you start baseball the next day in Cincinnati. But they don't do it that way anymore. They don't care about tradition.
No. TV and money dictate what the tradition is nowadays.
You're absolutely right.
For me personally, I always think April 1st should be the kickoff for the baseball season or somewhere around there. So starting March 28th isn't really a big deal for me because, quite frankly, March 28th, April 1st, is there really much of a difference weather-wise?
No, but there's just something about March. Games that count.
It's the ambiance for you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, you're a hockey guy.
That's
the NHL's arrival in Seattle is inevitable, as an expansion franchise will be granted soon.
Let's just say one of us is keeping a very close eye on this.
I know. Well, two of us. I think it'll be good for the NHL. The Seattle Times conducted a contest for the future team's nickname, and Sockeyes won out over Totems.
I'm a big Totems guy myself. I like the history of the name with going back to the old Pacific Coast Hockey League.
And I like Sockeyes. I don't know any other team with a nickname Sockeyes.
That's a name that if they go Sockeyes, it would grow on me.
Sockeye Salmon, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'm okay with Sockeyes. I could see even buying a Sockeye cap or something.
Believe me, when they get a team, I'm buying a jersey.
Other possible monikers in the Seattle Times contest were Sasquatch and Freeze.
Okay, Freeze doesn't work in Seattle because it never freezes up there. Compared to other places.
Well, it does on the top of Mount Rainier.
Yeah, that's Mount Rainier, though.
Okay.
I mean, Metropolitan's another name I was interested in because, you know, they won the Stanley Cup back in 1917.
You're right. They have more Stanley Cup titles in Seattle than they do in Minneapolis. Ouch!
That's a factual statement.
It is. By the way, they haven't actually given the team a name. This is the Seattle Times contest. But I'm all in on Sockeyes.
Well, the team's not official yet, but every way the pace is going looks like it will be official sooner than later. They're going through the right process, taking the necessary steps, and I'm guessing that a year from now they'll have a team.
Yeah, and I think they're putting about $700 million into Key Arena to renovate it.
Which needs a renovation.
By comparison, they put $150 into Target Center, so you can imagine what kind of renovation they're going to get.
Yes.
All right, stick around. When we come back, we'll talk Brewers baseball. They are playing in the NLCS. This is WCCO. We are back on a rainy Wednesday night in the Twin Cities, Sports to the Max. Eric in for Mike. And you know it takes a lot to bump the Green Bay Packers or the Wisconsin Badgers off the front page of the local newspapers in the state of Wisconsin these days. But that's exactly what the Milwaukee Brewers have done. They are in the NLCS Game 1 Friday night at Miller Park. The L.A. Dodgers come to town, the reigning champions in the National League. And joining us now is Lane Grindle, play-by-play voice for the Brewers. And Lane, first of all, congratulations to the Milwaukee franchise. I know there are a lot of Brewer fans here in the Twin Cities, Western Wisconsin. This has been a magical ride, hasn't it?
It really has been. I think, you know, this year in itself has been magical. And if you go all the way back to that late January night when the news broke that the Brewers had acquired Christian Yelich in a trade with the Marlins, and then about an hour later you found out they had signed Lorenzo Cain to a five-year deal on top of it, and you're saying, oh my gosh, there's a lot of outfielders right now that the Brewers are going to have to sort through in spring training. But I think that really set a tone for this year that the Brewers were putting the chips to the middle of the table, and they were going to go for it, and it has worked. This has been a team that has gotten better as the year has gone along. They have gelled at an incredibly good level, and I think you could even go back 3 years on that when Craig Council had his first spring training as the manager of this team. He set that tone for a great clubhouse culture, and it's carried over every year since. But it's been a fun ride, hoping that it can continue a little bit longer. The Dodgers are a really good foe. This is going to be a good series, in my opinion. I think these two teams match up very well.
Yeah, and you brought up Christian Yelich, and the Brewers basically steal him from the Miami Marlins, who had one of their once-a-decade fire sales. And wow, what numbers. 36 home runs, 110 Brewers batted in, the batting average at .326. He's really been unbelievable, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's the first Brewer to ever win the batting title in the National League. It's never happened before. And so that alone is very cool. Then you add the power that he showed over the second half of the season. When the Brewers acquired him, the thought was that there was going to be power that would show up that maybe hadn't been in the numbers so far. Some of it is about development. Another part of it is he was moving out of Marlins Park, which is a pitcher's haven, into Miller Park, which is really a hitter's haven, specifically for left-handed hitters, because the ball really flies out to the right field porch at Miller Park. So I think there was an expectation that the power numbers were going to increase, maybe not to the level that they did. He had a historic second half. I've never seen anybody put together a second half like he just did, and he's carried it over, and he's been good in the playoffs so far as well. Hit a two-run home run in game one of the NLDS, so it's really been fun to watch him turn into the player that he is. He's now one of the elite guys in baseball. He's probably going to win the MVP. I think most people consider him the front runner for that award. And he's done it all while being a very humble guy, a team first guy that doesn't take a lot of credit and is kind of aw shucks about how good he is. And that makes it sometimes a little bit more fun too.
Lane Grindle, our guest here on WCCO, radio play-by-play voice for the Milwaukee Brewers, who open up the NLCS on Friday night at Miller Park on the other end of I-94 in eastern Wisconsin against the L.A. Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw on the bump for Los Angeles. The Brewers have not yet named a starting pitcher. But, Lane, paint the picture, because as we know, all across Dairyland, it's all Green Bay Packers all the time. The Wisconsin Badger football program is elite. And now the Brewers are playing into October. This has to be just a fascinating time to be a sports fan in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's a very fascinating time. It's amazing to me. Before I moved to Milwaukee, I was at Nebraska, at the University of Nebraska. And as you probably know, even with the team that's 0-5 right now in Nebraska, it is football 24/7 there. And that's the only thing that anybody really thinks about. It's the only thing anybody really talks about. It is Husker football, and that's it. And I was really blown away when I moved here, because there's so much other stuff going on in terms of the sports with the Brewers, with the Packers. You know, sometimes it's hard for the Badgers to carve out their time on the front page, even in Milwaukee, because there's so many other things. But the Badgers have kind of forced their way onto there with the runs that they've been on over the last couple of years. And Green Bay certainly. The Packers are, everybody loves the Packers up here. But really right now, if you're taking the temperature of this city and this state, the number one focus is on what the Brewers is doing. And that's nothing against those other two programs and franchises that you named. But the Brewers have a chance to do something really special. They have a chance to win a World Series, something that's never happened in the organization's history. This is only the third time in the organization's history that they've reached the championship series. They've only been in one World Series. That was in 1982. So these kind of opportunities don't come around every day, and I think the people really understand that, and they have really latched on during this magical run. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere at Miller Park this weekend. I cannot wait to see how much noise the fans can make with the dome closed, with the roof closed at Miller Park on Friday night.
Yeah, the decibel levels will be Metrodome-like, I'm sure. And what's it going to be like, Lane, when you pull off I-94 into that huge parking lot that surrounds Miller Park? Because tailgating, we normally think of tailgating with football, but it's part of Brewers baseball, and now you have the NLCS, and in comes a pedigree team like the L.A. Dodgers. The vibe is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, it will be. Look, I don't know that any baseball team tailgates like the Brewers do. I mean, they have the parking lots to make that work. You know, that's not always the case for every other Major League Baseball team. When you're in the city and in the middle of the city, there isn't the parking that makes that possible. You can do that a little bit more with football stadiums. But the Brewers have the parking to do it. And man, I mean, opening day here is like a holiday. It's incredible. The smells when you walk around the parking lot. I always make it a habit to go outside and walk around the ballpark once on opening day. And I'm probably going to do the same thing for the NLCS on Friday. It's going to be a little bit chilly Friday. Saturday is going to be a decent tailgate day. It's like low 50s but sunny, which will be pretty good tailgate weather. But you'll see the brats and the cheese and the beer and everything out. All the staples of Wisconsin will be on full display in the parking lots before these games.
Yeah, and I like the contrast here, Lane. Obviously, the L.A. Dodgers, six straight NL West crowns. They were in the World Series last season, lost in a Game 7 to the Houston Astros at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles. But they bring, you know, that Hollywood mystique. They bring the huge payroll. Magic Johnson's part of the ownership group, and they have a galaxy of stars. Can the Brewers line up and get it done against the Dodgers?
Yeah, I think they can. That doesn't mean it will play out that way. Baseball's a funny game, and the ball bounces different ways sometimes, and you just never know what's going to happen in the game of baseball. But I think the Brewers have the ability to certainly win this series. You look at what they've done and how they've done it. They have, in my opinion, the most dominant bullpen in baseball, number one, which plays very, very well in the postseason, as we all know, watching the last 4 or 5 years in the postseason and how they've unfolded. They have an elite defense that can take runs off the board. That is a big deal in the playoffs. And they have a good lineup, maybe as good of a top of a lineup as you'll find. And Lorenzo Cain leading off, Christian Yelich hitting two, a 30-plus home run guy, 100-plus RBI guy, and Jesus Aguilar hitting in the middle of that lineup. And the big thing for the Brewers has been that Ryan Braun, over the last 2 to 3 weeks, has been the Ryan Braun of old. He has been coming up with big hit after big hit. He's been carrying this team. That makes them better against left-handed pitching. And that's what they're going to see a lot of from the Dodgers is left-handed pitching. Clayton Kershaw, Rich Hill, Ryu is another guy that's going to come at you from the left side. That's going to make it a little bit challenging seeing all those lefties from the Dodgers. But Braun's emergence from the right side, I think, helps with that. And then, of course, you have Mike Moustakas, who's been there before, and he's had a bunch of clutch hits. And the other thing that's been big for the Brewers, and this goes back over really the second half of the season. In the first half of the season, they were getting virtually no production offensively from their catcher position and really from their shortstop position. And all of a sudden, over the last 2 weeks, Orlando Arcia has started to provide some big moments. He homered in the game in the series clincher against the Rockies on Sunday. He went 4-for-4 against the Cubs in game 163. And so they're getting some production from shortstop. And the catcher position over the second half of the season has been phenomenal, whether it be Manny Pena or Eric Kraft. Both guys have been producing, and that's made the bottom of this lineup much more potent and much more productive, and it's stretched out this lineup to where there aren't a lot of holes, and it's harder to pitch around some of these guys like teams were able to do earlier in the year.
And a final thought, Lane, your broadcast cohort, the Hall of Famer Bob Uecker, he's still around, still brings his A game every night. What a treat for him to get this close to maybe another World Series, and who knows, that elusive World Championship that they'd ever had in Milwaukee when the Brewers were there.
You know, it would mean so much to him. It would mean so much to all of us. I think that's the thing. And when I say all of us, I'm not just talking about myself and the other guys in our booth that work with Uke every day. It would mean so much to these players, to these coaches, to this ownership group, to everybody, if they could see Bob Uecker get a chance to call a World Series and call a World Series winner. It would really be just an incredible thing. He's an inspirational guy. He's 84 years old, but he comes to the ballpark every day with a ton of energy. He loves being around the guys. He still loves the game. He still knows the game inside and out. And I can't even begin to explain to you how much I've learned about the game of baseball and about calling baseball from this guy in 3 years. He really is an inspiration when you get a chance to be around him on a daily basis. And he's one of the funniest human beings that's ever lived, too, so that doesn't hurt either. But we would love to see him get this opportunity to call a World Series. It would be just absolutely phenomenal.
All right, great stuff, Lane. Enjoy the ride in the NLCS, and if the Brewers get to the World Series, we'll give you another call, and have a lot of fun on Friday night.
Sounds good, Eric. Thank you.
All right, he's Lane Grindle, play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is WCCO.
The only way you can take WCCO with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What happens next? Rising inflation drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. You can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins in an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. Call 855-858-5807 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now at 855-858-5807 and get a free gold IRA guide. Call 855-858-5807.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
Water is front and center in the headlines, and it's not for good reason. That's why I called Hofferman Water Conditioning and got a Connecticut water system for our new home. Now get free basic installation on a new Connecticut water softener or drinking water system. Visit HoffermanWater.com.
Light drizzle, 47 degrees. It is windy outside. The breeze up to 15 miles an hour, 751. Sports to the max on a Wednesday. Eric in for Mike. Next hour, we'll talk NFL with Matthew Hatchett, former wideout for the Minnesota Vikings. And we'll talk some baseball with Al Newman, two-time World Series champion with the Minnesota Twins in 87 and 91. Some NFL nuggets to throw out at you. Going to be a bilingual battle on Monday night, November 19th in Mexico City. How about this? The only perfect teams left right now are Kansas City and the LA Rams. They're both 5-0, and they will play on November 19th in Mexico City. Now, I have no idea if they're both going to be undefeated at that point in time, but that looks like a pretty good matchup that'll be going global.
I will guess one of those teams will not be undefeated, and I think the Chiefs are going to lose first, and I think they're going to lose this week.
At Foxborough. We'll see. That's going to be difficult. They won their last season.
Now, and Grant, they've had the Patriots number in the regular season, but remember, those games were usually in September, where the Patriots still try and figure out who they are and what works. Usually this time of year when the Patriots start going on the run, they start to get going, and I would not be surprised to see New England win this week.
All right. Both teams, Kansas City and the LA Rams, 5-0. Cleveland, it's now a Brown town. How about that? LeBron is gone. He's in SoCal. The Indians have already been bounced from the ALDS, dispatched in three games by Houston. So Cleveland needs something else to cheer about, and the Browns are going to fill that void. They won last Sunday 12-9 in overtime against the Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland is 2-2-1 and very much in the thick of the AFC North race. I say amen. This is overdue. And Hammer, how about this? The Browns have played three overtime games and have experienced every possible result: a tie with Pittsburgh, a loss in Oakland, and a win at home against Baltimore.
You know, they've come such a long way over the last couple of years. The progress they're making is amazing.
It really is, and they could easily have beaten Pittsburgh and New Orleans in week two.
Here's the thing. They're not a good team yet by any means, but they're interesting to watch. It's like the Browns come out, you can't turn it off because you don't know how it's going to play out.
You know, Baker Mayfield, now he's young, and we don't know how good he's going to be ultimately, but he's got that town in his palm with any kind of success. Again, LeBron's gone.
And that's the thing, though. They want something to hold on to. I mean, that's a football town through and through. They love their Browns, win, lose, or draw, and over the years, a lot of losing. But they need a guy to rally around. I think Baker Mayfield could be that guy.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I did a book in 2002 called Slices of the NFL. I went all around the league, talked to fans, players, coaches, broadcasters, cheerleaders, you name it.
You talked to the big dog, didn't you?
I did talk to the big dog in the dog pound at Cleveland Browns Stadium, now called First Energy. And they were playing the Bengals that day. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do Browns fans think of the Bengals? He said, well, they're like that little brother. They annoy us.
It's like fighting with your brother.
Right. I said, what about the Pittsburgh Steelers? He said, well, that's rock'em sock'em. We can't stand the Steelers. They're only 2 hours away. I said, what about the Ravens, who, of course, used to be the Cleveland Browns before Art Modell took them to Maryland? He says, we hate the Ravens. And if Art Modell, who was alive at the time, ever comes back here, he will need a Pope Mobile. And, of course, they beat the Ravens last Sunday. So that is about as sweet a victory as Browns fans can get.
You guys start the parade in the streets while you're at it.
Yeah, why not? Like I said, the Indians are done. They're toast.
Yeah, I was wrong in that Indians pick. I thought they beat the Astros in five games because of their pitching staff, and they just had no answer for that Astros lineup.
No, and I think, to me, the takeaway is the AL Central was weak.
It was very weak. I just thought their pitching in a short series, they could steal a couple games and get on the Astros. But Houston with Verlander and Cole in games one and two just got off to a great start, and the Indians never recovered.
Yeah, the Houston Astros trying to repeat. They'll play the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS. Again, in the NLCS, it'll be the LA Dodgers and the Milwaukee Brewers. By the way, Minnesota Vikings and Arizona Cardinals, they'll play Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Cardinals are 1-4. They got their first victory for new head coach Steve Wilk last week in Santa Clara against the 49ers. The Vikings, 2-2-1, looking for their second straight win. And that was a huge victory at the Link in Philly on Sunday.
And you look at their schedule going forward. They got three of their next four at home. They got the Cardinals this week, on the road at the Jets, home against the Saints, home against the Lions. All four games, I think, are winnable for the Vikings.
They are, but I think after that Buffalo loss,
you can't take it
nobody
for granted.
In the Purple Nation is going to assume anything.
But I think the good thing about the Buffalo loss is they're not going to walk in there assuming they're going to win a game. They'll be prepared.
It should be the ultimate wake-up call.
The Buffalo loss could be a blessing in disguise for this franchise.
Arizona, of course, will start a rookie quarterback, Josh Rosen, out of UCLA. And what's kind of cool about this game Sunday, I'll be there, and I know you may be there as well.
I'm planning on it right now.
A couple of guys, I call them soda sensations. Two of the NFL's most prolific wideouts will be on display. The Cardinals' Larry Fitzgerald Jr. from Minneapolis and the Vikings' Adam Thielen from Detroit Lakes. How about that? This is WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.